Hello, Cyclocross friends, and thanks for tuning in to episode 167 of Cyclocross Radio. On today's show, Michael and Zach are back for another Media Pit edition, and we're going to talk about the Rockland County Supercross Cup that took place in Suffern, New York, and then also the Major Taylor Cup cross race that took place in Indianapolis. To break down all of the storylines that we are following from those races and the domestic scene as it unfolds towards nationals that are coming up in just a couple weeks. We're 3 weeks away. This episode is brought to you by Works HydroShot. Ride, shred, rinse, repeat. One piece of equipment that's a must have for every rider. That's a power washer. You know, we talk about it a lot on this show, just about in cross races, dirty cross races, even not so dirty ones, those hot, dusty ones we had earlier in the year. This is a really easy solution to be able to get your machine clean before you get home. You can also, in these muddier days, heck, once you change after a race and you want to wash off that skin suit, maybe wash off your shoes and all your equipment and your gear before you put it back into your car, HydroShot. The Works HydroShot is the best way to do it. It is a portable power cleaner that uses the Works 20-volt PowerShare batteries and pulls from any fresh water source. So they even have like a bottle adapter, so you can have a 2-liter bottle, fill that up, throw the HydroShot adapter on there, and then you're good to go. The batteries also will work with any other Works tools, which is pretty awesome. So buy a set of batteries or a few sets of batteries and you're set for everything that you do as long as you're using Works tools. They're offering a 15% off discount of all HydroShots and accessories if you go to yourcleanbike.com and enter the promo code CLEANBIKE. I was over on the Cyclocross channel over on Reddit and I saw people talking about the Works HydroShot and I said, hey, go listen to the Wide Angle Podium. There is a discount code that we have for people like you to get a little money off of this great product. And that, again, is Clean Bike. And put that in at yourcleanbike.com and you get 15% off. Coming back once again this week as a sponsor of the show is Shred Science Nutrition. This is the best time. A lot of our seasons are starting to come to an end. And I think that if you have fitness goals and race goals for next season, now is the time to start. And the best way to do that, or a good way to do that, is through nutrition. Change the way you eat. It's going to change the way that your body is composed, and it's going to change the way that you perform. And one of the best ways to do that is through Shred Science, which you can find at shredsciencenutrition.com. You will, when you apply, you'll fill out a couple questionnaires and then get hooked up with a coach, and everything is personalized to you. This isn't computer generated stuff. It is working with a nutrition coach to get you performing better. You'll get a individualized macronutrient nutrition program based on your goals. So they'll tell you how many grams of protein and carbohydrates and fat to consume every day. And it's basically what you want to eat as long as you stay within those constraints of the nutrition plan. And I say constraints, but it actually ends up being more food than you think. It's just in the right proportions between these different macronutrients. It's really cool. I do it. It's been a huge help for me for keeping disciplined and keeping on something long term. It's not just a diet that you're going to get sick of and go away from. It's really just changing the way that you consume food and turning it around into whatever fitness goals you may have. So check them out, shredsciencenutrition.com. Finally, Wide Angle Podium. I know we talk about it all the time on here, but that is the network that Cyclocross Radio is a part of, and all of the other great shows on the network. Got a new one coming out. It's actually an old one. Dirt Fill Recordings with Lindsay Goldman, who used to run the Superman team, is now the membership director of USA Cycling. So we have access to an insider at USA Cycling, started a new podcast around that on that old Dirt Field recording feed, because it's still with Lindsay. It's still her show. It's called USA Communique, and it's basically your inside access to USA Cycling. So we've set it up where usacommunique@gmail.com. You can send questions. We already got a ton for the first episode that should be coming out later today. This is Friday. And we want to continue to have this dialogue. So every other weekend, we're going to have this show. I think it's going to be something that you all are really going to dig. It's really easy to point fingers at USA Cycling, you know, rightfully so in many instances. And now we have somebody who's willing to answer from inside the wall. So check that out on the Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, wideanglepodium.com. Okay, episode 167 of Cyclocross Radio. We're in the media pit with Michael and Zach, and we're doing that right now. Numbers, I don't know, but here we are. We are back with Zach and Michael, and I guess, dare I even ask, Michael, how's it going?
Sorry, you went to me and I just took a gulp of beer. But you know, Bill, of course, it's going super, and I think we have a tailor-made show just for all our good listeners.
I should have known. I mean, I think that Zach, at this point, we should try to write out the dumb
yes
pun
yes
before Michael does it and see if we can guess it. We'll have to write it on a piece of paper beforehand.
Okay, all right, that makes it a little more interesting. That way, I have to kind of. Maybe
no,
go a little
I don't want
deeper.
You to change at all. I just want you to just go with your gut on this.
Okay. All right.
Zach, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was thinking there's this guy that I follow who does NBA Twitter stuff. And
yeah,
after playoff games, he was having a contest to predict what Magic Johnson's banal tweet about the game would be. And so he would give away, he'd be like, do a contest, and then he would pick a winner for the closest one. Because it'd be like, great game by LeBron James. He's really good at basketball.
What is the, there's a podcast, the Press Box that I like, that they, a couple of things they do. One is, guess the overused, Twitter joke of the week. And then the other one is, guess the strained pun headline. And so ooh, he'll give him like the subject of the story, and then the other guy has to guess what the pun is based on the subject, which is good. Good things.
Well, like, great. Yeah, you guys need, maybe you guys need to guess my intro on the podcast.
I think that's what we're going to do.
Well, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, and that would be very on brand for the media pit, because during some races earlier this year, Bill, we were coming up with the titles, the terrible punny titles for my posts. So
they were wonderful punny titles. For your
no, you were great. You were great. Like, but I'm still trying to keep. I still try to keep doing that. And it's it's appropriate for the media pit. So let's do it. That's our new bit.
All right. Good.
And all right. Yeah, Zach, I noticed also your sort of subject heading in your Supercross post was Whiteout in New York. So I feel like, yeah, you're on the same page.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, interestingly, but not a whiteout, because they didn't even have snow this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a you know, a fast course at Supercross instead of just running the whole thing.
Would you call it a grass crit?
I was about to, but I really don't know if it is or isn't. I think there are some good features there.
Yeah, it looked like it looks on the video. It's hard to see, but from like some GoPro footage at Dirtwire, you can see there's some hills that seemed a little leg breakers and a nice little wooded section that seemed pretty fun and played a tactical part in some of the men's races.
Well, I think there's a big hill. That's what Becca was talking about. That she just, you know, it's one of the few tracks in the U.S. where you can just kind of let it go and take your hands off the brakes and just sort of scream down a descent for a while, which seems pretty cool, until I guess on the second day when they turn it around and you have to run up that thing.
I think she also fell at the top of the hill, which is kind of an interesting place to fall on day one.
I think this is a good segue to the first topic that we want to talk about. So last year at Supercross, it was really muddy. It was very thick. It was a lot of running. And it kind of, in a way, portended what happened at Nationals. We saw that Curtis White was kind of on the ascendancy. But he, you know, Kerry would admit this, he kicked the crap out of Kerry Werner last year at Supercross both days, like buried him in the mud and snow. And this year, we don't know if it'll be the case, but the thing that came up was the Cannondale squad. They had an extra third rider because one of the Devo riders in Lane Maher was there. But the Cannondale boys whooped up on Kerry something good. So I think team tactics and, you know, especially the way that Cannondale has been kind of employing them in some of these races is we had a reader question, actually. It was submitted by a reader is what we wanted to chat about.
Yeah, for sure. If I pull this thing back up, Adam, thank you for this. And that's it's basically what he said. It was that you had the three Cannondale boys beating up on poor Kerry Werner at the front of that race. And you talk about Lane and being on that development squad, and that's, you know, because he's a U23 racer, got second at Pan Ams, but did he win, where did he win last year? He won an elite race last year, I feel like.
I'm looking, he won KMC.
KMC, yeah. I knew there was something. And he's been up there. I mean, every race that he's race, you know, from, I know even at like Charm City he was in there, and that's really where I think we saw this starting a bit, where it was those three guys up there, it was basically those four guys up there at Charm City as well. And Lane is a guy who he's sort of a Lane Vanderhaar, you know. He's the whole shot king. Like, Lane is going to be out there and he's going to be leading the way, and he sort of plays rabbit for these guys and gets out there fast on the first laps. And then, you know, what we've seen is that either Hyde or Curtis will make a move off of that. And it's kind of just punch after punch. And if you're stuck in a position where you have to cover those moves and there's always somebody behind that can make the next move, then you're really at a disadvantage. You know, we're talking about somebody like Werner, who's just really truly one against three. And yeah, I mean, what do you guys think about that style of racing?
I mean, it actually seems kind of fun to see tactics put forth in that way. I know that I think the reader in your email commented that it seemed to not jive with maybe a previous style of racing where Steve and Hyde like to do, where they're just not sort of sitting on wheels, you know, blocking or waiting, covering moves for teammates, but actually all just going at each other, which maybe means that the racing's a bit more faster and a bit more attacky. But I actually like some of road tactics, so being able to see moves, counterattacks, attacks, I think it's kind of engaging. I think another thing that this maybe shows, like, I'm really wondering, like, where is Hyde's fitness, and does this weekend and the way that Cannondale played it, does it show that Hyde is there and that he shouldn't be left out of the conversation for nationals? I mean, I'm saying that because last week we really were like, you know, Kerry, Curtis, those are the two guys. Or does this sort of team dynamic allow Hyde, who's not at his strongest, to be able to be closer to the front?
Would you say to Hyde?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that we're hiding Hyde. Zach, what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, like you said, the course we were talking about, it was quite dry. It was not, you know, muddy and snowy. And so it seems like Charm on day two, when we saw that, it looked like from the video, looked pretty dry. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a course specific situation. I mean, we talked about this all the way back to Rochester, I think. You know, talking about at Rochester that especially Hyde and White were like, look, we're all in for the team. And I remember saying, I'm like, if these guys race together, watch out for what they're going to do. And it's going to kind of suck if you're not on that team. And Kerry Werner kind of bore the brunt of that.
Yeah, even to the extent that Lane was saying at the end of the race that he was really trying to work for Steven and sort of bring him out of that chase group. And then, you know, it was one of these things, he sort of looked around and nobody was there, and then he kind of had a clear shot for second place. So I guess my follow-up question for you then, I mean, the bigger theme, and you kind of already alluded to it, Zach, is that is Super Cup Cross like the road Paris-Nice? Is it, you know, if you win this, you win nationals. The same that, you know, that Paris-Nice is like the who's going to be good in the tour. Or is it that, you know, what Kerry said, long block of racing, he's taking a week off, he's going to recharge, and then the next block starts. I don't know if they're going to ruts. I'm assuming they are. But after that, it's on to nationals. So is that, are we just seeing this planned, almost periodic training of the season where you're peaking and recovering and peaking again? Or is this truly something that we need to watch out for? Curtis White's just going to be like flying all the way until Nationals.
So I saw, I like doing this. I think I tried doing this on the first time we ever sat down at Jingle Cross last year, but someone on, I think ESPN did a column titled, "Let's Overreact to Everything." And so I was thinking that we could, you know, I was like, oh, how would I overreact to the results from this race and be like, oh man, you know, Kerry Werner's done or whatever. You know, I think that, you know, he's coming off a block of racing. You know, you talked about how disappointed Curtis was in not getting that win at Pan Ams, and I mean, I think you can just see from the demeanor that he brings to the start line, and you talk to him, like, having that motivation is something that, like, I think he takes advantage of wanting stuff. You know, and I guess, Mike, I'll throw it over to you. My other thought on the whole thing was, you know, looking ahead to Nationals, you know, Steven wants number four, Curtis wants, you know, his first title. Are they gonna play nice at Nationals? Will there be the ability to do so? You know, will they say, well, I'm happy my teammate won at Nats as long as we keep, you know, the vile Kerry Werner from winning or something?
The spoiler.
You know, or will it become, you know, more of a every guy for himself in that situation? You know, because they won't have Lane from the Devo team as kind of the ringer. It'll just be the two of those guys in the elite race.
I guess unless
they have Lane race the elite race just to play like Van Turenhout, well, too. You
brought
that's, up
I mean, we don't have to get there now, but that's something to put a pin in. What does Gage do this year? I mean, we already saw Lane Mayer get second place Pan Ams, and he was right up there. Does Engage, you know, was that big decision to race elites last year? We can talk about it later when we talk more about Nationals. What are we talking about right now? What does he do? I mean, if he races up, it's going to be a huge game changer for how the elite race plays out. But if he races back down, then Lane's like, oh, okay, racing against Gage again.
So, I mean, can he race? So he can race down again, even though he raced up last year.
I think as long as he chooses one or the other, you just can't do the, you know, there's the Zach McDonald where he sort of broke the rules and they let him race twice in Wisconsin. He won the U20, I believe he won the U23, and then almost, I mean, he was like right up there in the, you know, helping Powers in the elite race too.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like, you know, Gage has moved on from the U23 field that
he jumped back in there.
Did he? Oh, so he did for Pan Ams, yeah. Right? You're saying, yeah, that's a good point, and that's interesting to think about. I would think he would want to go for the, you know, the elite
race,
glory.
He raced U23 Worlds too, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I could see it. I could see you being an American, you know, United States racer and racing U23 at Nationals, but then going to Worlds and racing, sorry, going racing elite at Nationals, then going to Worlds and racing U23.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those are some really good things to think about. And I think that the one thing regarding Kerry's schedule, and it's interesting, is he's been talking about, you know, Pro CX, he's interested in that, and he definitely wants to win it. And this double win by White actually moves him closer in the standings. So I think he's racing in North Carolina this weekend, and then possibly going to Ruts and Guts if he needs to get those Pro CX points. And I didn't realize the Pro CX is still a thing. I think I've joked about it on the podcast, but it's apparently, you know, riders are still interested in winning it.
I was just putting together the cross report for this week, and I said, what the heck? It's for USA Cycling. I'll throw them a bone. So I did a whole section on the Pro CX. And yeah, it's actually really close between first and second in the men's, between Kerry and Curtis.
I guess according to Kerry, it's become a big deal for their sponsors.
Right.
He was saying basically like, oh, they saw it was a series and you guys won last year, so how about you go win that again? And so all season, dating all the way back to Rochester, Kerry's been talking about beating White in the Pro CX. So I think it's become a thing. And you can't quote me on this, but like, I think there might be some sort of incentives for both Kerry and Becca to win it.
Yeah, and
so
they are both leading. They may be the only ones who are following it, but they are both leading right now.
They're both leading. Yeah, Rebecca has a pretty good lead over Clara.
And then isn't it like Mani and Rochette in there too with her? And then Gilbert, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's the top five right there for the women.
Nailed it.
Well done.
Well, so like, so Curtis will be at, he'll probably do NBX. And then, so it'd be kind of interesting to see if we get like this kind of like dueling scheduling between Curtis and Carrie, if depending on how things play out, you know, from the races that they do, if it's like, oh, are you gonna, which one is Resolution the one right before Nats this year?
Yes. Resolution okay. and NBX are the same weekend.
Oh, okay. So maybe Carrie will go up to NBX could be very interesting this year. I mean, it certainly was last year with Hyde racing it and kind of doing some foreshadowing, I think, by winning both days last
year.
Yeah,
Hyde was able to. That was a really interesting one because he was a little concerned about Curtis and sort of went all in to try to see what Curtis had and was able to win on both days. And that's the other thing that we haven't really, you know, that's the other part of this Nationals equation. You know, you mentioned it, the Supercross this year versus last year. This year, much more to the liking of Curtis for his skills, especially just right after what we saw at Pan Am's. And then Nationals last year, just a complete mess. And Carrie not... Well, they're Carrie. I guess that doesn't go with my argument because they're Carrie not even in the race, but maybe more running. I think if you get the riding part of it, if it is a rideable but technical muddy course, that's kind of where he excels. And you're our native, Michael. So what's it? I think you may have said that before. What's it going to be like? What's the farmer's almanac looking like?
Well, I already called out the hot take that it wasn't going to be a wet and muddy race.
Oh, that's right.
So.
Yeah.
So if we're using Supercross Cup as the bellwether, that it's going to be dry. I mean, it's probably going to be wet a little bit, but who knows? I hope it's not. I hope it really just kind of throws everybody for a loop.
I hope so, too. Too many wet races this year.
Yeah, especially there, you know, speaking of the media, yeah, we all would prefer a drier race.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if it can rain the day before and then just be muddy, but... It's hard to be out all day in the rain in your weather.
Especially with Nationals, if you're out there. I don't know, Zach, are you going out?
Oh, yeah.
When are you going?
We'll be there. I am going on Tuesday, and I will be covering every fucking race from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then when everyone comes on Sunday, I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Bruce and I will see you on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you'll be there the whole time, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you want to be a media member, man? Cyclocross Magazine. We cover every fucking race
at Nationals.
At Nationals. So you will have the story of who won the Masters 65 to 69 race, and it will be covered pretty much like if I'm at like Rochester or whatever. So
I will say that I think that's a cool thing that you guys do, and I think that because Nationals is targeted at a lot of the age groupers and sort of the people who are mostly on the fans at the UCI races, that it's cool that you guys offer that coverage, and it gives them something to work towards and something to, you know, point to their family and like, hey, look, there's an actual article about me winning this race. So
in all honesty, it is unprecedented from many levels, and it's the one thing that we can hang our hat on in cyclocross that we do better than any other discipline in the U.S., except maybe BMX. I'm not sure. I've never been to a BMX Nationals. They may knock it out of the park. But as far as road goes, as far as mountain bike goes, it's not even close, you know, at any level. And then there is no magazine or outlet that is covering every race like the way that you all are doing it. Plus, you're racing in a venue that is just like, you know, it costs a little more money to be able to race there, and we all have to deal with that, and it's going to cost to park your car, and you have to get wristbands. But after that, you are getting an experience you are getting nowhere else, and you are doing it at a level better than any other discipline by far. I've been to, again, I haven't been to BMX, the rest of them I've been to, and it's not even close.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because you at Cross, you have the age group and the elite. You know, road has masters nats, and you have elite nats, and then you have, so you have pro nats for road. You have pro, you have elite, and then you have masters. So that's three different times a year. This is all together in one spot, one location. You can, you know, watch as much cross until your heart falls out.
Yeah, I don't, I shouldn't sound saying that. I mean, I think it is, it is an awesome thing. It's just, you know, I mean,
it's a lot of work.
Transparency, it's like it's five straight 16-hour days. And I think what's most challenging is, right, like then for the elite races, like the bigger outlets, I'll admit it, like they come in, they cover a couple races.
And they then, swoop in.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm traveling home on Monday, I'm recovering, and then they're interviewing the top athletes and all their shit's getting shared, and it's like I'm literally trying to pull myself off of like the ground in my bed to like continue keeping our coverage going, you know, keeping that hype going.
Got them on their they got them on their podcast. They.
No, seriously. And, I know. I mean, and people in our community, they share those stories, and it's just kind of like, you know, I just worked my ass off for you guys, and then like, yeah, they kind of, you know, they swoop in and get like all of the at least love that I see on social media. So I think that's part of why, you know, there's that dynamic of it. It's like everyone's like, oh, we're here. It's like, yeah, man, I've been here since Wednesday.
Dear listener, this if you wanted the authentic Media Pit experience,
yep,
you're getting it now.
So, dear listeners, go click. Every time you see a little Cyclocross magazine article pop up on your feed, give it a click. Give them a click, maybe give them a retweet, give it a like, you know, spread a little love.
Yeah, I'm vain. I actually just want you to like share it and be like, hey, you know, saw this article, instead of being like, man, you know, unnamed other cycling outlet wrote this great story. It's like, you know, I wrote a great story about the Masters 45 to 49 race too. It's awesome though. You get to meet so many people, and the stories are just incredible, and it's such a cool thing to get to do. I mean, like, I can think of so many stories that have stuck with me from the people that I've met and seeing that do those events. And you know, I think it's fun for us, Bill, because we get to spend all week there. And
yeah,
you know, it's like you said, it's the family reunion.
We're jumping all over the place, but I don't, you know, we were talking about team tactics, and I don't want to leave out the women's side of Supercross, which is also a little bit of the same, especially on Sunday. You know, we're talking about the Pivot Maxes presented by Stan's No Tubes team of Courtney McFadden and Ruby West, and just two people, but trying to really employ some of those same tactics that we saw with Cannondale against, I got to do the whole thing now, Kona Maxis Shimano of Werner. And also Farringer, that they were doing this against Becca in the women's race. And it looked like for a while there that pretty successful on Sunday, but just, you know, the Becca's just really riding strong. I mean, she's, you know, I think if you look at her and you look at Curtis, they're sort of right now kind of at that same level. And with both of them, I think the question sort of is for both of them, if they're going to be able to keep it. But what do you think about this? I mean, what do you think about it on the women's side, them working together, and were they actually working together?
I think it sounds like they were. I mean, they even, you know, Ruby admitted it as much. It did seem like the one spot where they really could take advantage, really were better than Rebecca, was in the technical spot, or the wood section, sorry. But that, as Courtney said, that was only 30 seconds, and the rest of the course was set up for the power that Rebecca had. So it seemed like in the early parts of the races they were trying, but really Rebecca's just too strong to really matter.
And don't you think, Zach, it's really that third extra rider that's the secret sauce there? You know, because then it's just, there's no recovery. I mean, it's just attack after attack, bring it back, and the next guy goes.
I mean, it sure seems like it. I mean, the way that, especially with Lane riding like he has, and you know, I mean, he's young, and so he's a Devo rider, and he looks up to those guys, and so, you know, he's going to want to work for the other ones.
Did you see his sprint for fourth? Could have been him winning Pan Ams when he outsprinted Carey at the end of that race. So stoked on that! It was fun to see the finish of that race.
Yeah, but you know, I think part of what the reason that we're talking about Cannondale the way we are is because, you know, these were the top two riders at U.S. Nationals last year. These are two of the top four or five dudes, you know, in America, North American cyclocross. And so, yeah, it's like, it's a lot different than when they do it versus, you know, when they do it, they're really shaking up the front of the race. You know, nothing against, you know, Courtney and Ruby, but they didn't finish first and second at U.S. Nationals last year.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if Ruby does, we got a stronger team.
Oh yeah. that is a good point.
Her and Magali, we gotta just, you know, steal them for the South.
But yeah, no, I think like though with Rebecca, this is her third weekend sweep of the year, and so it's definitely been a thing that we've talked about. And today, I guess it just kind of like I had this Twitter interaction with her that kind of shed some light on I think this development of her mental game.
I saw that.
Yeah, so I was just like, she was totally speaking to me. She noted that we'll be going over the rebuilt Tacoma Narrows Bridge when we go to Nationals, which is, of course, was famously known as Galloping Gertie back in the 40s. It was a bridge that like collapsed, I think it was like a month after they built it. And you can watch the video of the bridge swaying back and forth.
Oh, that's like, that one. So it's like,
that's
wow.
Galloping Gertie.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is... You know, I'm a civil engineer and, you know, a bridge dude. So that's totally, I was like, oh, I was so excited. So I had this interaction, like rewriting. I was like writing a fake headline for her from Nationals. And I just said, oh, Rebecca Ferringer ran to her first career podium at Nationals. And she's like, no, I think you meant win. And I was like, I like that. You know, I think that's awesome to see that development. And I think it is reflected in terms of that, like the T-Bex. Killer instinct that I think she's bringing this year, which has just been really cool to see.
Oh, T-Bex, as in
that's
T-Rex.
What Bruce Buckley threw out there. T-Bex.
With
know.
Her T-Bex little, with her little short podium.
Her post up, her short post up.
Yeah, the short, yeah. Short arm post up, which we've been referring to as the T-Rex.
The T-Bex, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bill, I mean, you've been around this game a really long time. You know, how important do you think that mental side of cyclocross is? Because you've seen a lot. You've seen a lot over the last decade.
I think it's huge. I don't know that I can think of somebody either on the men's or women's side in the past decade that hasn't come into Nationals thinking they were going to win. I mean, I don't know what the last, if there ever has been an upset in Nationals. Has there? I mean, you know, it would have been amazing. I think the closest we had was Georgia Gold in Asheville. And I'll even say, and you know, we were talking about it, you can say Jonathan Page, but he was a multiple national champ and he just wasn't around. But he always, every time he towed the line at Nationals, he thought he was better than everyone else. I mean, in a good way, he just felt like he was the strongest one there. So I don't think that you can call that, even him winning that in 2013, as an upset necessarily. So I think that's a huge part of it. I think you have to come in there thinking you're going to win. With Hyde, it was just insane. I mean, I think we can all go back to Louisville last year and say that was just all mental. I mean, that was just a mental win from start to end because the guy was broken, and I don't know that he's necessarily fixed at this point, and it's almost a year later. So that was something to behold. So that is a huge part of it. And I think it really is, you know, we talked earlier about what a huge event it is and coming into that and coming into that forum and everything that's on it. And there's TV cameras there and it's being broadcast live. And it's not like when these guys go to Europe and they can kind of hide, you know, they're not the focus. There's Wout Van Aert on the line, you know, and on the other side, there could be, you know, whoever, Pauline Ferrand-Prevot is out there like lining up, you know, it's like there's focus taken away from them. They go to this, all of the focus is on them. And we don't get that in this sport every week. So that has to be an intimidating factor for someone who's not mentally prepared for it. So I think it is an absolute huge factor. I think this year on the men's side, and again, I don't think it will be an upset, but I think that you have at least, and again, we don't know where I want to think that Gage is racing Nationals because I feel like he said something about him and Lance trying to, you know, work together in the same way that, that Cannondale is, which is something that they've done all year. So that would make complete sense to me. I swear I read that, but I might also be making it up. or just wanting it and wishing it into existence.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But but what I was going to say is on that side is that I don't see any of these. I don't see Curtis winning. I don't see Hyde winning. I don't see Carey winning. I don't see even Gage winning as necessarily an upset because I think all four of them are that strong. I think Gage will be the one because he's never really, you know, he's the one who's always kind of, and he's young, is always still that step behind those guys. But as far as those top three, we've seen all three of them win multiple times this year. And so I don't think you can really say one is better than the other. They're definitely, you know, Carey's been on a great streak. Curtis has been on this great streak. They're the two strongest, obviously. So it may come down to those two, but you can't count out Hyde. I mean, that's just a champ. You can't do it. And then on the other side, I mean, Katie's going to come in there as Katie. And you know, I don't think purposely, but I think you're up against Katie Compton and she's still, you know, she's the kangaroo that still has never been punched. You know, I mean, none of these people are coming in there thinking that they're necessarily going to win. I mean, maybe this year is different. Maybe Clara Hansinger is going to be like, nope, I've been chasing down Magali Rochette all year. I know I can do it. I'm going to do the same for Katie Compton. And it's not, I can do that. And maybe that'll be it. Or maybe, like you're talking about Becca, maybe that's going to be it. But I feel like since one, Katie, they haven't had the opportunity to beat her other than when she was beaten, you know, early in the season. And I don't think that counts. Because when she came back, she went to U.S. Cup of Cyclocross and, you know, won easily. So I think that's still, I think on that side, you still have a favorite. But again, I think mentally she's really, she steps up, she's the boss and everyone knows it.
So let me go on that mental game. And what do you think, how does that present to the other riders on the women's side when Katie Compton, the 15-time, right? Or is it 16?
15.
Okay. This year could be 16th. That could be a really good wide angle podium tie-in. Are you guys still sponsoring her?
Perpetually. But,
okay. So how does that affect the other riders in that field when she's the 15-time national champion and she's like, I'm not even gonna race you guys this year, like I'm gonna go and do a pretty much a full season in Europe because for various reasons, but you think there's got to be a little bit of like, hey, why don't you race against us, or are we not, you know, that much of a challenge for you? I'm just wondering how that plays into the minds of the other women in that field.
I would guess that, I don't know. I don't think that it does. I mean, I think part of it is at this point, if you're racing at the elite level, like you've spent your whole life looking up to Katie Compton as an athlete, you know, and I think that's part of the challenge, but they all know it. I mean, Rebecca talked about it a little bit at Montana Cross Camp and I was there. It was like, look, like my goal is to beat Katie Compton. And she's saying this while Katie was there coaching. And so, you know, I mean, Katie knows, and I think Katie has been a mentor to them, but at the same time, like she brings it, you know, I mean, you look at like Katie Keough, who's
right, shaping
up,
we can
talk about that.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that here in a bit, you know, is shaping up as potentially, you know, might have reinserted her name as a favorite to watch. You know, earlier in the season, I think we all kind of agreed it was Clara Hansinger, but that was a month ago, and a lot has changed since then.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Europe. Go to Europe. You have one other person who's racing well at the top of the charts with Katie Compton, and it's Katie Keough, and she's giving her a run for her money. You know, Tabor, she's eighth, Compton's 13th. So there's definitely something to be said.
But we actually, we went and we looked at the numbers so far head-to-head in Europe because, you know, Katie was dealing, we'll just discount the first month of the season, I think, for both of those riders. They're 3-3. Actually, they've been going every other race. So if you look at it, my theory is it could come down to whomever won or finished better. the race before nationals.
So they're going to be tanking that last race, knowing
be like, that's... look, the history, the algorithm doesn't lie, the numbers don't lie. It's every other race, like. You know, past his prologue or whatever. So yeah, they've been evenly matched, and you know, Katie Keogh has had a number of excellent rides there, and is really, I think, riding like we kind of thought she could, that we were hoping that she would, and she is. I think she's certainly delivering. And
You talk about the mental side of it. I think she's one that's proven that she is much more comfortable or even happier racing in Europe than she is in the U.S. And you could see it last year that she could not wait to get there. And this year she was just, you know, had no pretense about it. She's like, I'm going there as early as I can. And I think it's paying off, you know, getting top tens and top fives in Europe. And I don't know, we'll see how it goes, but I think she's on the upswing. I think she's going to keep getting better against that field, especially as soon as she sort of works her way in there and starts to race once, twice a week with that field. We're going to start seeing her on the podium more.
So what do you guys think's a better storyline? Katie retiring, have never lost national championships, or her finally giving up the crown while she's essentially at her peak?
Knowing her, I don't think if she gets beat, I don't think it will have any bearing on if she continues, like, I need to race one more year to win one more championship. I think that she has had so much frustration with world championships when she thought that she was in a place where she could have won. All of us thought that she could have won and did not. You have that conversation with it and you come away much more upset about her not winning a world championship than she is. She is at peace with it. So I can see that same attitude and mental state sort of rolling over into cyclocross, that she don't want to lose it. I mean, she wants to continue to win, but at the same time, I can see her, you know, that not even being a factor, it just being another day at the race, and she's no longer, you know, the national champion and probably stoked for whoever is at this point.
I mean, from a storyline standpoint, I mean, I don't know. I think it's cooler to go out on top. Like, you know, when Michael Jordan came back, we all just kind of try to forget that he ever played for the Wiz. I mean, I think there's something really baller about going out on top and just being like, look, I'm done. you know, I went out on top. But, you know, like you said, you're right, Bill. Like, you come away, you talk to her, and it's just like, yeah, we all kind of want her to win a world championship. Like, we wish that things would come together perfectly, for her.
So for writing the perfect ending, she wins that national championship, takes off her shoes, and leaves them on the podium, and just walks
away.
That
would be awesome. Yeah. Like, wrestling style?
Exactly.
That would be really cool.
Man, I mean, I think what's really compelling to me is her finally one of the up and coming American women being able to beat her while she's still racing, and that sort of, you know, passing of the metaphorically, you know, crown, and maybe even the primo story that I want to see is Katie losing national championships but then winning world championships that year. Is sort of like, okay, I'll let go of this one to get that bigger goal. And obviously we're just talking complete hypotheticals here, but hopefully our listeners are okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it last year, you ask Ellen Noble, she was going into that national championship to win a national championship and beat Katie Compton. And you talk about mental state, she was one. You know, I think that this year is completely different just because of the struggles she's had. But last year, you know, she was coming off of like this 7-8 win streak and went into nationals. You know, it was just not good conditions for her at all. And it was the same year that she had taken Mariana Voss to the line. And I think that was kind of the storyline that people were looking at. This was this, you know, young upstart who has shown that she could compete at the world level. And that was almost like the lineage that you saw. It didn't work out like that. But so, I mean, yeah, we keep searching, but I think that's going to be a really interesting storyline. If I had to bet today, I think I'm still picking Compton. I mean, it's just 70 a year.
Yeah, I mean, if you are looking for, I think in her mind, I would guess that if Katie Keogh beat her, she'd be totally cool with that. I mean, she has been a friend of Katie's, a mentor to Katie's. They both still live in Colorado Springs, and they're pretty tight. And I think she would be totally okay if that's how it went down, and Katie Keogh beat her straight up. Like, I think Katie Compton would be totally happy with that because, you know, they're friends. They're you know, they have this long history together.
Literally the pupil beating the teacher.
So that's
the story that I don't know if everybody knows. I mean, Katie Compton used to be Katie Keogh's coach until Katie Keogh got to the point where she was capable of competing with her. And they were just like, well, this doesn't really work anymore.
I did not know that. I mean, also, Katie Keogh wins. It keeps the national championship in the Katie family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so, like, you know, the mental side, the storyline side, there's been any number of women who have finished second, you know, to Katie Compton at Nationals. And I think Katie Keogh has, but in, you know, recent years, like, I know her third at Reno was a huge disappointment for her. Last year, she, you know, really didn't put things together till January. You know, so she hasn't necessarily been knocking at the door. But if you look at who is the heir apparent consistently over the past 5 years or so, I think you kind of have to look at Keogh as being perhaps the most consistent, you know, best rider. Obviously, Ellen for the last couple of years has been there, you know, isn't necessarily there this year. But, like, you know, Katie Keogh's been knocking at that door. It just hasn't necessarily manifested itself at Nationals. And so, you know, I think that would be the changing of the guard if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
So,
and I think
of the storyline to
and
tell.
I think, Michael, we've all sort of been hyping it all year long, but the other factor in that is Clara and what she's done and what she's able to do and just sort of hang with all of those riders. And, you know, we've all talked to her. She's got that kind of, I mean, her mental state, she's like the most zen of anyone out there. It's, I mean, Zach, you have, I mean, it won't make any bones about it. It can be frustrating sometimes talking to her just because of how matter of fact she is. Like, if it's a good day, it's a good day. If it's a bad day, it's a bad day. Should have done better. And just like really sort of matter of fact about it. But I think that even keelness with her is a strength.
Yeah, yeah. So we got this far, and like a month ago, we were like, "Oh, Clara's in the bag,"
yep.
And now it's like, "Oh, we don't want to forget about her." So maybe that'll play into her strengths, you know, being a little overlooked.
Yeah,
and
Michael, you know, talking about Clara, she did race this last weekend. It was 11 hours away from Suffern, New York, but they did have a race in Indianapolis. It was the Major Taylor Cross Cup.
Well, I think just briefly on Major Taylor, I mean, you see, or actually just talking about the split weekend, you know, you saw the top tier riders, you know, slot in where they should have. They really kind of, we didn't have any surprises there. You know, I do want to say we have Raylan Nuss, who got second in both days in Major Taylor. And, you know, she's someone who, she got sixth at Pan Am's, kind of knocking on that top 10, you know, kind of working her way up. So good finish for her there. Another thing is Sunny Gilbert got third, highest spot she's got all season, where we've talked a lot about Nationals, and that's someone who's maybe coming into form. And she's actually, I had looked it up because she hadn't been racing, I hadn't seen her name on many results, and she's been doing some local stuff in Colorado. So
lose to Meredith Miller at Cross of the North?
Oh, did she?
I mean, nothing against Sunny, but most likely, I think that Meredith usually cleans up in those local Colorado races.
I'm actually looking at the USAC results. I think she did. I don't know. I'm still looking, so carry on. But
well, so one we just did a, oh, we haven't published it yet, but anyway, I was doing a profile of her bike, her Van Dazzle, and I was looking at her results, and so this is just so spot on with what happened at Nationals last year. She finished fourth on Fayette Cross day two when it was muddy and shitty, and I think she finished fourth at Cincy day one when it was muddy and shitty. So she's already like turning in these good results that we saw that kind of like jibe with that incredible second place finish she had. at Louisville Nationals. And so I guarantee you that Sonny Gilbert is absolutely looking at the weather every single day and consulting hopefully a more optimistic almanac, farmer's almanac than you're consulting, Michael.
Yeah.
But you know,
depends on who you ask.
She's gotten those results and like conditions. If they play to her favor, I mean, she's got to be saying, I can do this again. You know, I can do the thing and have, you know, just this incredible career performance again.
I just want to say a side note, Major Taylor takes place at the Velodrome, and someone tweeted out, like, does your UCI race, is it in a Velodrome? And I was like, well, actually, funny enough, I've been to two separate cross races in velodromes, not UCI, yeah. But okay. It just, I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, I think every race in Australia is at a velodrome, as far as I can tell.
I can tell you that Joachim Parbo from Denmark, former used to race here, he hosts a race at a velodrome. And I know this because when I went to Worlds last year, I stayed at that velodrome.
Oh, wow.
So they do a race there and they have practice there every Wednesday at the velodrome. So it also is a thing in Denmark. Not UCI, though. Not UCI.
Yeah, Nittany, they race around the velodrome, not actually in it, just in the sewage puddle behind it. Okay.
Right. Yeah, and also in Oregon, not UCI, but at Alpenrose, they have a velodrome there. So there's not a lot of velodromes, but we do have a lot of cross races at velodromes in the States and Australia.
And to confirm that Sonny did in fact come in second place to Meredith at
Cross
in the North.
So Meredith Miller, dark horse for Nats.
That's it.
Well, it's single speed Nats. I mean, she got upset last year a little bit. Sturmey taking her down, and so
yeah. But is that really an upset?
No. All right, fine. She was the defending champ.
Yes.
It was an upset in the sense that she had won the year before. And from what I've heard, I'm guessing that she'll be racing single speed Nats again.
Fourth place across of the North. Aaron Huck.
Really? Oh, yeah. Who's third?
Huh? Susie Livingston.
Oh. Dude, those Colorado cross races are like semi-pro. I mean, between like ex-pros and then...
Kristen Weber.
Like Maddie
six.
Monroe will race there, and you have Sonny Gilbert now, and you have Aaron Huck, who's just like, whatever, I'll race cyclocross.
Exactly.
And then there's a bunch of masters women. Like, I think Melissa Barker lives there, who's a masters national champ. And so you just have like...
Oh, she was fifth place.
See?
Yeah.
These are like legit, like Colorado women's fields at their local races are incredible. Like,
I was going to say, speaking of single speed, yeah, I think this weekend is single speed world championships.
Ooh, yes. Do you have thoughts? Should we talk about it? Should we cover single speed worlds?
Well, Zach, funny enough, you said that. I actually had a friend who sent me a message and said, hey, I'm going to single speed world. Do you want to post photos on Yeah, You Ride? I was like, sure, of course. I'm like, but maybe Zach wants to post photos on Cyclocross Magazine. Also, apparently Tobin Ortenblad will be racing at single speed worlds. So I'm curious, Bill, how does that play into the heat check?
Ooh.
Oh, boy. I mean, after how well Iceman, I see that you know, Cyclocross Magazine now taking up the heat checks draft and doing the heat check best bikes of the heat check with Jeff DeBusch.
Yep. Absolute synergy, man. We are synergizing, baby.
I think that, you know, I think that plays into it. I think Tobin pulls off a win in that. I think that has to play into it.
I mean, you know, that race has sort of elite the status. I mean, Sven Nys raced it once, right? You know,
right.
Adam Craig won a bunch of times. Mo Bruno Roy. So, you know, true pro cross racers go do this event. So,
you know who else is doing it?
No,
I mean, it's actually an intro. I'm hoping to post it later, but our defending road national champion is racing, Alex Howes.
Is this part of the alternative race calendar?
It must be.
Yeah,
nice.
Sarah Sturm is doing it. Who else in the women's side? I know Emily Kachorik is, and this is just off the top of my head. One of our media hit like adjacent members, Kathy Fegan Kim from Cotton Sox Photo. She's jumping in the
really?
Women's.
Oh man, I missed her. I haven't seen her. She started. She became a race director, and we just never saw her again.
I know. Oh, I know. She's a Media Pit member. Jumping, throwing her hat in the ring.
Yeah. Is that the DNA team?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen her at Crits. I recognize her. Cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who else are some other names, but there were definitely some to Tweakin. We haven't seen him all year.
Wait, Sikwatz. Really?
Sikwatz. Yes, the Squid Squad is going. Sikwatz is making his like 2019 debut at Single Speed Worlds.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow. All right.
Well, so here's I think Single Speed Worlds was a big thing. It was very much an American, North American thing. The last one went out with a bang. You know, in the last 2 years, like we've quote unquote covered it because like some folks have sent us photos or whatever. But it kind of like, I mean, there was still some vibe, but like it
wasn't
kinda
it
lost
the
its
it was the Sven one, right? It was Ben, and then it was kind of done.
That was the big one, and then it was in Italy, and then it was in Belgium. And, you know, it seems like we hadn't really heard much about it. You know, I almost had to remember that it was coming up this weekend. I don't know. It's just weird. The vibe, you know, people from the Midwest, where I'm in Wisconsin, be like, oh, we're going to Single Speed Worlds. We're going to Single Speed Worlds every year. It was this thing that people talked about. And this year, not as much hype. Do you think the hype will come back? Do you think that event...
They need to get Dave Pryor back involved in it. That's when it was at its heyday.
You know, do you think that the world is a better place with Single Speed Worlds being in the United States and being a big thing? I don't know what was your thoughts. I just, it's, you know, because I've kind of seen it from afar with it being abroad and just not seeing the hype that I've seen in past years for it.
Do we think that
all the hype's gone to gravel?
Single speed racing is still... don't know. I mean, can we look at that and think that maybe this is a reflection of where cyclocross is? Has cyclocross moved so far beyond the grassroots that we don't care about the single speed world champ, which is just complete grassroots, make it up as you go along, tequila bypasses, you know, everything under the sun? Is that kind of just sort of underground, above ground racing done? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know what's even more core than single speed worlds? Track lacrosse worlds, which is coming up next year. That doesn't really answer your question.
But... no.
Yeah, I mean, track lacrosse, well, I don't know. So, I mean, locally, I think it, like, peak cyclocross here in Wisconsin, we had the single speed category, and it would have like upward of like 50 people in it. It was a party, you know. We were doing hand ups, like we were giving out hand ups. People were, you know, doing all the fun shit. And now we're lucky if we can get like 10 people to do our single speed race. Like right. The category has just completely died here, and there's not, you know, that ethos. Like some of those people who were there for the party or whatever don't race anymore. The people who were serious about it are doing either their masters or elite categories now. So yeah, I think you might be kind of onto something, Bill. I don't know. I'll be curious to see what the vibe is, you know, that comes out of this event, to see if that spirit is still there.
I mean, it's not like it was in the days. Man, wasn't it like, didn't Wix win it before, and just the whole gold Speedo and
the tattoo.
I mean, I guess who was the Rafa guy who didn't want to get the tattoo, and that started the whole thing?
Was it Chris Jones?
Not sure.
Other Rafa guy.
Maybe. It may have been. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this will be it. This will be the revival of the single speed cyclocross world championship. What else we got to talk about?
Well, I believe we have a segment. Oh. Wait, time out. Whoa. We're skipping. It sounds like we're skipping Europe this week. But Michael, a weird weekend on the Sonic Hunt watch.
Oh yeah, let's get a little Sonic watch in there.
We want the Sonic watch. So we had, I think she finished. I don't even know what she finished at Tabor, but she finished second on Sunday at Flandrian Cross. And, you know, so what's the, are we doing a split Sonica watch? What's the vibe from the weekend?
So, unfortunately, I didn't watch the women's race at Flandrian Cross, so I can't give you an a breakdown. But she got second, and I was just trying to get you all to sell her so I could buy her at a lower cost.
Okay.
Because okay. I think it's tilting up.
All right. Sounds good. But we had a segment. We came up. We're going to do a new segment. We're going to, I think.
We're going to test it out.
Are we going to try this? Yeah, we'll have to carbon copy the Slow Ride podcast folks here to see what they think of our segment attempt. So what are we calling it?
Well, I don't know. I almost think we should, because the one good one that we had, I just feel like it's run its course.
Oh, okay. Fair.
So I think we're going to have to tease. Maybe we could just tease it now, and then we can just maybe get some listener input and move forward. But the name of the segment, I think we're going with Cross Move or Soft Move. Does that sound good?
What if we put it to the listeners? What if instead of Cross Move or Soft, what if my pushing tape or pulling stakes?
Okay. But okay. The idea is, you know, and this started with Boss Move or Soft Move. That's kind of where we're taking this from. And what we were going to discuss was Mr. Werner going on to social media and lambasting USA Cycling for high fees for nationals. And the point of discussion, and, you know, he sort of worked his way through that, talked to Lindsay Goldman, who's the director of membership, USA Cycling. They seem to have come to some sort of detente where Kerry doesn't necessarily agree with everything, but he sees that nobody's really, you know, getting a fat wallet out of this, so everything seems cool there. But I guess the point, or the sort of the conceit of this whole thing is going online to complain about nationals, maybe even more than one year, Cross Move or Soft Move, and we don't even have to answer it. But what we would like is for you all to go to feedback@cxairs.com, even go to Twitter. We could do a hashtag. Cross Move or Soft Move. Is that too many letters for a hashtag?
I don't know. I mean, it would be cool if, like, we could get, like, even just, like, four hashtag Cyclocross Radio, people tweeting the hashtag to give us ideas and get
Should
some
we just do a
going.
CX Media Pit?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We're working out the show on the air just for you all. Hashtag CX Media Pit. Give us your cross move or soft move. Maybe it's the Cannondale boys, you know, ganging up on poor Kerry. Kerry's going to be in all of these, you know, and racing as a team versus going after and trying to win on their own. Is that a cross move or a soft move?
I got another one. And this is out of Europe. What about the UCI possibly bringing in the wild card rider? You can, if you haven't raced cross in a bit, but you are a pro, or you are a pro mountain biker, you can get it like a first or second row call up. Is that a cross move or
cross
a boss move
or soft move? I love it. That's a great one.
Should we make that the first one?
Sure.
I have thoughts on it.
Go for it.
Oh, I mean, I think that I mean, my personal opinion is so basically the idea is that, like, the names that were mentioned were, if, like, say Julian Alaphilippe or Peter Sagan want to race cyclocross, they can come in and get a wild card to get a good call up. So at least ostensibly they'll, because we've kind of seen that, right, where Lars Boom comes back, he has to start on like the 75th row, and we're like, oh cool, he got up to 24th place, that's great. And so I think they're missing the forest for the trees. I think they're basically saying, oh, our product isn't good enough, we need this, like, spectacle of some, you know, road rider or whatever coming in and not doing well. I think it's a kind of an insult to, frankly, to the riders that are there. Like, oh, your star power isn't good enough, but we can fix things by having Peter Sagan try a cyclocross race. I think it's kind of bullshit.
So you're going soft move?
I am going total soft move.
Michael?
Well, I'll just go on the other side and say, you know, we've heard, what if you are Pauline Ferrem-Prevot and you took 2 years off, but you're the former world champ, triple world champion of all cycling things, and you want to line up in a World Cup and you have no points and you got to start at the back. It's like, I mean, have a little respect for PFP and put her towards the front, you know, third row. So I think it's a cross move.
Yes.
I think it's push and tape.
All right. I say that you've taken apples and you've turned them into oranges. Because that's okay. Not, I mean, that's a completely different thing with Pauline. And I think that
if
she wanted to come back, she could do that where she is like at the back and work her way up there because she'd be committed to it. And it's not like what Zach is saying, where it's like this one-off spectacle. Oh, Nino Scherzer is going to show up and do a cyclocross race and put on a show for the fans. You know, he's gonna show Matthew Vanderpool that he can come to his house and, you know, compete against him there. So for me, I think I'm leaning towards Zach. I think that this is a soft move. I think that the product should be strong enough on its own, and I think that this is another symptom of the Flandrian takeover, where they want to make cyclocross into road racing and they think that they can boost it up into this next level sport by making it what they say they want to make it more inclusive and more fun for fans. And I don't think that's the problem. I don't think the problem is that it's not fun for fans. I think the problem is just the distribution and the stranglehold that certain parts of the world have on the sport. I don't think more races is the answer, but that wasn't really the cross move or soft move we were talking about. But you guys get the idea. Yeah, Zach.
Yeah, well, and I think that's like it came across in the context of kind of the riders meeting that Katerina Nash and Simon Zahner had organized. You know, was in the sense where they were basically like, look, we kind of aren't listening to your concerns, but here's this proposal that we have, like. And, you know, it just, to me, like, you know, like missing the forest for the trees. I don't know if that's the right, like,
yeah, wasn't
whatever,
the
idiom to use, but
wasn't the takeaway from that, oh, absolutely no way are we budging on 16 races. It's going to be 16 races, but hey, we got a wild card. Maybe that'll be fun.
The way the article was written, I actually do kind of want to follow up with Katka and get some more insight, but the way the article came across, it was like, hey, you guys are going to love this. And it's like, that's not the problem. I don't see what that's solving. You know, it's
mm-hmm. it's the sitcom cousin who comes to live with the family to try, you know, in season 7 when the show is failing and you got to have, you know, that new character, that new blood in there.
So you're saying that before they started, they've jumped the shark
pretty much.
In season 0.
Season 0. jump the CX shark. Shout out to Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, I feel like that's like apples to oranges, but I do want to say...
Absolutely.
I do want to say that the new UCI schedule usually comes out, the provisional one comes out in the middle of December, right? So we are soon going to find out exactly how this is all going to shake out. And I'm pretty anxious, or I'm not anxious, but I'm eagerly waiting to see how this all develops for next year.
Michael, admit it. How many days are there actually till it comes out? You know, right? Michael's like, it's only 27 more days, guys, which is like my rough guess. I think it was like early first week of December, like the applications are due, and then it gets like mid-December, so... Yeah,
Bill should know, right? You've got a UCI race.
Yeah, everybody come out to the DCCX World Cup.
Oh! Whoa! Uh-oh!
Edit!
Oh, man. News has been broken. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I like it. I think, I mean, hopefully people who are listening like it and can give us stuff to opine on and... it was awesome actually having suggestions of a topic to cover too from Adam who hit you up.
Yep, so that was good.
I like that.
That got us the old not sure what we're going to talk about all the way up to over an hour. So good work. And with that, awesome. I think Michael. Hey, Michael. Tell people where they can get a hold of you by using the hashtag CXMediaPit.
If they're going to use that hashtag CXMediaPit, you can get at me on Twitter at LandSoftly, or you can find me on the Instagram at YeahYouRide.
All right, Zach, give us one scoop that's coming out this week that you haven't already, plus where people can get a hold of you.
Oh, man, that's a good question. Man, now you're putting me on the spot. I don't know. What are we doing this week? We got a profile when's, of Sonny Dillard's bike coming up.
When are more Nationals previews coming out?
I don't know. Actually, that reminds me. I actually have someone that I need to follow up with for Nationals, so that's a good reminder to do that tomorrow. So for Grodio tie-in, though, we do have going to be chatting with Peter Stetna next week.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's a little bit of a gravel Grodio. Nice. He's actually on vacation in Chile right now, so he was like, hey, man, I guess we were texting today. He's like, yeah, I'm on vacation. I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure you deserve that. So from a gravel standpoint, I'm actually really excited to hear kind of what he has to say and to see what's going to shake out on the professional gravel side. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to do Grodio again soon. Anyway, I'm at The Shoe Star on the Twitter. I'm also at Cyclocross Magazine as your humble editor of said publication.
Awesome. I am at CX Hairs on most social media. Also follow the CX Heat Check at youtube.com/CXHairs and everything we're doing over at wideanglepodium.com. Become a member. Become a better person. Guys, we'll see you. We'll see you not in 2 days, but next week.
Sounds good.
All right. See you then.